WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, February 10th. Coming up, a year ago, the U.S. started requiring that genetically modified foods be labeled, but some critics suggest the labels are small and confusing. We'll learn more from Harvest Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. An investigation by ProPublica found universities nationwide are decades behind on returning Native American ancestral remains as required by law. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
The Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act was passed in 1990. Since then, the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign has only made 7% of the over 800 ancestors housed there available. Chris Boyd is in charge of repatriation for the Sac and Fox Nation in Oklahoma. Prior to ProPublica's database, he relied on universities notifying him.
I probably get an average of 10 to 15 letters a day, maybe up to 20 sometimes. Like, my office is just full of mail.
The investigation identified over 30 ancestors from Boyd's Nation at the university. U of I hired a full-time repatriation specialist in 2020, but they still expect the process will take decades to complete. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Urbana city officials say they're looking forward to next year's opening of an H Mart Korean grocery store. Urbana's senior advisor for integrated strategy development, Andrea Rudy, says she's been working to bring a more diverse mix of businesses to the city. New Jersey-based H Mart operates more than 100 stores, including 5 in the Chicago area, but this will be their first in downstate Illinois. Rudy predicts it'll be popular.
I mean, people will come to shop. If no one has been to one of these stores, you know, they're amazing. It's not only Asian food, but Western food as well. Some of them have bakeries and food courts. And so we're hopeful to see maybe some of those services here at this one as well.
Korean U of I student Ian Sorensen says he believes the new Urbana H Mart will benefit the community.
I think increased diversity is always a good thing. I mean, it's not only Asian students that love H Mart. I think I see a lot of white people too, a lot of different races. People just like to try different food, so I think it's always a good thing to have more.
Construction is set to begin in the coming weeks on the Urbana H Mart, which will open in the former Save-A-Lot location on Broadway. University of Illinois researchers have developed a new method of gathering biological information about elephants and their environment. Researcher Alita DeFleming says the technique uses special paper to gather samples from elephant dung. She says the method is cheaper and easier than collecting elephant blood samples.
You know, with the application and advancement of ancient DNA techniques, we are now able to actually use fecal DNA to sequence entire genomes. We're able to now use elephant fecal samples to do what we've previously only been able to do with elephant blood or tissue samples.
DeFleming says the method could help with elephant conservation efforts. The Illinois women's basketball team used a 20-0 second-half run to win at Nebraska last night, 72-64. The Illini trailed by 10 points early in the third quarter before going on their big run. Head coach Shauna Green says her team carried over its strong defense from the first half.
We were just being aggressive. We were playing with confidence. And the main thing is we're getting stops, you know, and that's what we were talking about in the first half. I actually thought our defense wasn't bad. The first half, we couldn't make shots.
Illinois was led by Makaira Cook's 22 points. Starting guard Genesis Bryant left the game with an injury in the first quarter. The Illini improved to 19-6 overall and 9-5 in the Big Ten. They'll visit 8th-ranked Maryland on Sunday. Still to come, a year after the federal government began requiring labeling for genetically modified food, we'll see how it's working. That story is next on 217 Today.
Normally this time of year, everyone is thinking of hearts and flowers. But this week on the Atomic Age Cocktail Party, we're feeling the heartbreak. Songs about what happens when love goes wrong or when a love affair ends. We'll hear from Vic Damone, Ella Fitzgerald, Billy Eckstein, Arthur Prysock, and more. I'm your host, Jason Croft. Tune in Friday nights at 9 and Saturday nights at 11 on WILL FM 90.9 and on demand at will.illinois.edu.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Next time you go to your kitchen, check the labels on your food. You might find a small statement or symbol that says bioengineered. A year ago, the U.S. began to mandate that food manufacturers, importers, and retailers make that disclosure if a food or substantial ingredient has been genetically modified. Harvest Public Media's Katie Pikus looks at what, if any, impact that's had.
It doesn't take long to find a food or a food product with some mention of bioengineering on it. For example, here in my freezer, I have these soy-based chicken patties, and on the back of the packaging, there's a small circle symbol that says bioengineered. Before the mandate went into effect, the U.S. Department of Agriculture did a presentation explaining the standard's purpose.
We can increase transparency in our food system and give consumers information about the bioengineered status of their foods.
The USDA's national standard for labeling bioengineered foods came about in response to states passing or proposing their own legislation. It was meant to avoid a patchwork of regulations. It covers 13 crops and foods that are GMOs. That's genetically modified organisms that have had their DNA altered in a lab to give them certain traits. Take note of four crops on the list: corn, canola, soybeans, and sugar beets. Most of those crops in the U.S. are genetically modified, says William Hallman with Rutgers University's Department of Human Ecology.
We make so many ingredients out of those particular crops.
Much of what Americans eat has an ingredient from a GMO crop, like foods that have high fructose corn syrup. But Hallman says this is where the regulations get tricky, because not all those bioengineered ingredients have detectable genetic material, meaning they don't fall under the USDA standard.
It complicates things immensely. The question is, so what is the law intended to do? The law is intended to disclose and make transparent to consumers, you know, what it is that they are eating.
Critics like the Center for Food Safety and some grocery stores and food advocacy groups challenged the USDA in court over the exclusion of many products from the standard. A federal court largely upheld it. Natural Grocers was one of the parties that sued. The Colorado-based retail chain sells organic produce. Natural Grocers' Alan Lewis says the bioengineered labeling is too narrow and was designed to confuse people by using the term bioengineered instead of GMO.
A shopper that cares about non-GMO and protecting planet, environment, and their family's health isn't using that as a source of reliable, consistent information.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has concluded GMOs are safe to eat. For consumers, it's difficult to know if they're aware of the disclosure standard. Brian Ronholm is the director of food policy for Consumer Reports. He says people care about GMOs, but the USDA standard uses the term bioengineered and only requires a statement in small print or a small symbol.
It should be labeled more clearly, so it's very easy for consumers to understand.
Would the wording or size of the labeling make any difference? Erin Adalja is one of the co-authors of a Cornell University study on a now-defunct GMO labeling law in Vermont. He says the discussions during the legislative process influenced consumer habits more than the actual labeling. And, he says, that's likely the case with the national standard, too.
We don't expect there to be a big blip in, you know, a big drop in GMO demand or a big change in demand.
Ultimately, it's up to consumers to read the fine print and make their own choices about what foods they eat. I'm Katie Pikus, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be partly cloudy today with a high of 41 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Lily Salas, Piotr Fedchuk, and Katie Pikus. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.